I shall never let a woman in my life.
Well, ladies, a little fair lady, my fair lady for you there. As a gender, we do have a lot of words in us, do we not? That fact alone should cause us to step cautiously. Proverbs 10:19 says, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And other versions simply say, too much talk leads to sin. I'm like, okay, I get that. That's probably right, spot on. Today, I'm going to ask you to go on and open your Bibles to James chapter 3. We're going to be reading several verses together. And as you're doing so, I want you to know that I see the great irony that I am the one bringing you this lesson, because Lord knows he has been working on me in this area. And when I say I'm the most unqualified person to teach this lesson, it kind of also dawned on me that, you know, I kind of am the perfect one, because I am so acutely aware of the importance of this warning. You see, I can be just blind to how my words hurt and discourage others. I mean, this is my daily struggle. And so, as many of you would agree, this is a really great topic for us to study, absorb, and apply. Amen? All right, let's take a look at verse 1 together. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Stricter judgment? Thank you and goodbye. Okay, in the early church in Jerusalem, they were all wanting to have their say and to be influential. And at that time and in that culture, teachers were actually revered. So that being said, we can relate to the desire to want to be the guy who brings wisdom or laughter or is getting all those pats on the back, right? But James is saying, be careful for what you wish for, because with that privilege comes responsibility. And so we have got to ask ourselves the question, why stricter judgment? Because words are powerful. And that is the first point we're going to discuss this morning. Words are powerful. James is going to begin diving into this particular concept in verses 3 through 5. And it says, now if we put the bit into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we will direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great, large, and driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Guys, usually when we think of things that are small in size, we think small impact. He is saying, no, 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 quite the opposite. Little bitty thing, great big impact, right? And so because words are powerful and can have great impact, sometimes those words have a lasting impact. Some words last for decades, even centuries. And they have inspired rebellions. They've created wars. They've given people hope. And they've caused others to give up. So given that, I want to play a little game with you and see how good you are at recognizing these kind of popular phrases that have had great impact, right? So as I read the phrase, I want you to see if you can figure out who said him, and bonus points if you can figure out when and where. You ready? All right, here's our first one. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Who spoke these? Very good. Any idea when? Well, it's up there. 1862. He actually spoke the words multiple times, once at the dedication of the National Cemetery. But here's what's interesting about Lincoln. He was not really known to be an eloquent speaker. He actually kind of fought it, so to say. But they said when he really got passionate on a particular subject, he could bring it up and let it go. But I thought that was interesting about him. All right, number 2 on our little game. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. A little trickier. Who spoke those? Very good. Patrick Henry. This was in 1775 at the Constitutional Congress. They were trying to get the big territory of Virginia to decide if they were going to participate in the American Revolution. Needless to say, these words were persuasive. Virginia did join, and our country's here and completely different because of it. So the third one, y'all, this one is my favorite. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We all know this was Martin Luther King Jr., spoken at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963. I don't know why I always get teary when I say that phrase, but I just do. Okay, my next one is a little trickier. You ready? You are the people that are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Does the church matter? Absolutely. Who do you think spoke these words? It would be Todd Wagner. He's spoken them so many times I could hear him in my sleep. They're even in his book. So yeah, I threw that one in for fun. Okay, now one more. Here we go. When we have mobilized the working capacity of our people to its utmost, each individual worker will receive more and more of the world's goods. This right of peace, of work, of welfare, of culture, which we want to erect and which we will erect. A hint, these words were spoken to an impoverished nation with an economy that just wasn't working. There were no jobs, there were no goods. And so this person was making a whole lot of promises. And this person was Adolf Hitler. Exactly. Guys, I put this one in there because words can be used for good or evil. They're powerful either way. And Hitler knew this so much so that literally he would practice his speeches for hours in front of the mirror. And he would nuance every little gesture he was going to make. And the effect of all that is he was said to be hypnotic and that he would literally bewitch his audiences. How many of you have been greatly influenced by someone's words? Maybe it was their praises and their compliments, or maybe it was wounds that they inflicted. But we remember certain words, do we not? Back in the dark ages, before there was texting, in school, we would actually write notes to our friends and fold them up, you know, in cute little ways, and we would pass notes to each other between classes. I remember a day in eighth grade where I received a particularly thick note from my friend, and I didn't think much of it. But obviously, when I got home and I read it, it was awful. A group of mean girls had gotten together to tell me that they no longer wanted me to hang out with them. And while I don't remember everything that was in that note, I remember how I felt. I was devastated. It was brutal. And it was something that has stuck with me 40 years later. I can still remember that. Words are powerful. And just as an interesting tidbit, studies show that our brains are actually more sensitive and responsive to unpleasant news. That's the reason we tend to remember the negative things easier than we remember the positive things. And also interesting tidbit is studies show that it takes 5 positive statements to counteract 1 negative statement. I wish I'd known that a long time ago when I was thinking of parenting my kids and how I spoke. So that being said, because our words are powerful, ladies, will you submit yours to the Lord? Now, words are powerful, and we know that negative words are not what God intended, but we're also aware that our words can be problematic, and that's the second thing we're going to talk about today, problematic words. Have you ever found your words, or maybe those of the ones you are close to be problematic? Well, James is going to allude to this exact concept in verses 5 and 6. We're going to actually pick up in 5b. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. It sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Okay, that is a strong warning. Because flames destroy and our words can destroy. How many times has my big mouth damaged or ruined a relationship? Words can hurt. You know the old childhood adage, oh, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a lie. Because yes, they can hurt. They can hurt a lot. I want to take a moment and I want to leave you with a visual when you think about hurtful words. So let's say just for grins that this piece of leather you see here is the audience or the hearer of my words. And let's say that this little tool is my words. Now, if used properly, this tool, and by the way, it's just a little lemon zester, you know. This tool has a beneficial and useful purpose, right? But if used incorrectly, you're going to see that it can maim and it can wound and it can damage the audience that hears it. Now, can I ask for forgiveness? And can I apologize? Yes, and hopefully, God willing, that wound will begin to heal, whether it's glue, sewing, etc. But will there still be a scar? So the question we've got to come back to is, guys, which would have been more beneficial? To speak the problematic words, apologize, pray for healing, or to have not spoken the words at all? That's the visual that I'm trying to use to motivate myself. It's just not to speak the harmful words at all. Excuse me. Our words are our most apparent and observable sin that we commit. I mean, they're really out there for the world to see and hear, right? And yet we tend to be so blind to the impact of our words. We just saw in James 1:26, our religion is worthless if we do not control our tongue. And so, ladies, just in case some of you are feeling really good about yourselves, I want to remind you and motivate you that, hey, here are some of the common problems with our tongues. We discussed these back when we were talking about confession and repentance. But let's think about these afresh today. What about, and as I read these, think about, are there any of them you've done in the last day, week, recently? Gossip. Sharing someone else's story that is not yours to share. Lying. It's convenient, right? Slandering or maligning, because what they don't know won't hurt them. Boasting, because we all like a little extra attention from time to time. Criticism, because we're just wanting to make things better. Whining or complaining, you know, we have these unmet expectations and, you know, it just kind of comes out. Maybe it's cursing or using any words that don't honorably reflect our Lord. Maybe it's quarreling. Maybe it's making excuses. I mean, these are just a small sample of the things we do, right? But maybe it's not just the words we say. Maybe it's the tone in which we say them. Because our words can be problematic. Will you submit your words to the Lord? I want to encourage you that, yeah, James warns us our words can really be problematic. But guys, I want to encourage you that our words can also be purposeful. And that's our third point this morning. Purposeful words. We know that our words can either build up or they can tear down. Proverbs 12:18 clearly points us to that same truth. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And guys, if we want to aim toward healing words and words that build up, what's a girl to do, right? Well, I've got a few ideas for us. And my first idea is probably the most important one. Spend quality time with Jesus. And some of you are probably arguing with me going, hey, wait a minute, Trisha, the problem is my tongue, not my relationship with the Lord. Actually, Matthew would tell you it is the problem. Look at Matthew 12, 34 and 35. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure, meaning his good heart, what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure that which is evil. And Matthew 15 says almost the exact same thing, but I like how clearly it's said here. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. Our words are not the real problem. The real problem is our heart. Now, I had a little fun reading verse 11. So in chapter 3, where we are today, in verse 11, it says, does a fountain, and a lot of your translations use the term spring, does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Well, that was a rhetorical question because we always know the answer to that is no, it did not. But I kind of got to thinking, well, how does a spring even get its water? And I did kind of nerd out just a little bit. And so here's the basic idea, and it's a simple idea. So the rain falls down, it is absorbed by the earth, and it is stored in the different strata or layers beneath the earth, right? Eventually, through pressure, gravity, etc., it bubbles up through cracks and fissures in a different area. And that water that comes out is the spring water. But the spring water is loaded with minerals from the strata in which it was held. Y'all with me so far? Our words are the spring water. The strata is our hearts. So my question to you, what ideas are you currently holding in your strata? Is it your ideas of entitlement, justice? Maybe they're good ideas. Maybe it's submission to the Lord. But the question also becomes, what's feeding our hearts? What's feeding that strata? See also the rain. Well, I would propose that we are being influenced by the people we spend the most time with. Who are you hanging out with? Do their thoughts and their hearts line up with and yield to God's word? And if you think they're not influencing you, you're fooling yourself, because they do. I also think we are heavily rained upon by the items we hear on repeat or even experience in any way on repeat, whether it is those annoying political ads that are kind of driving us all crazy this year. They do that on purpose because they know words are powerful. Maybe it is the entertainment we have in our lives, because as Americans, we like our entertainment. It consumes quite a bit of our time, whether it's maybe the podcast you listen to, maybe it's the music, the movies, the books, the newscast, you pick it. But what do you listen on repeat to? Really, anything that we allow to marinate into our hearts and our mind is going to get absorbed and stored in our strata. So guys, my very main point today, if you hear nothing else, is that we cannot fix ourselves. We've got to spend quality time with Jesus so that he can change us from the inside out. Spend quality time with Jesus so he can fix us from the inside out. My second practical point is to limit your words. Don't speak too much. Remember we talked about Proverbs 10:19, too much talk leads to sin. And literally just a week or two ago, we were in James 1:19. Y'all know this. Be quick to listen and slow to, exactly, limit how much is coming out. I literally put that picture of the zipper because that is just what I need in my life regularly. Are any of you guys external processors? Oh, the example of one. Yeah. Or maybe sometimes, do you ever speak out of a reflex, meaning you hear something and that response just reflex right out of your mouth, just boom, boom? Yeah, well, beware of those two things. I do them both, and they are dangerous because, guys, we haven't given the Holy Spirit any opportunity to filter and guide our words. I encourage you, take a minute, pray. Process before you let those things come flowing out of your mouth. My prayer of late has been this. Do they really need to hear my input? And very sadly enough, more often than not, they haven't needed to hear my input. Not as much as I think. Now, I am going to address those of you who don't like to speak up very often. You seldom share your thoughts. I don't want you to use this as an excuse to stay silent. I want you to pray and ask God if you need to speak up. We all need to. Because, see, remember Moses with his stutter? He didn't think he had much to say, and yet God had very different plans for him. So pray about when you need to speak up. Third, I encourage you to engage community. Ask them to give you feedback about your words. Bold questions, ladies, like, how do I come across? What am I saying that I don't need to say? Maybe you need to ask them, hey, what are the good or meaningful things that I say? So I can continue doing those. Remember, we are often blind to our struggles with this area. And guys, if you have the courage to do this in your next community group, which, wink, wink, I hope you do, know this is something that needs to come up periodically, not just this week at community group, maybe in another 6 months or another 4 months or whatever. It needs to regularly come up because they will file you and shape you. Fourth, I encourage you to use words that build up. When you think of someone who builds up, who's always building up others, whose face comes to mind? Wouldn't you like that to be yours for someone else? So in order to do that, ladies, let's be living and praying Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. I need that verse on my mirror looking at me every day. Are your words beneficial? Ecclesiastes 10:12 is going to make a really clear distinction for us. It says, the words of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. My dear friends, don't be that fool. Be intentional so that you can have purposeful words. I didn't want today to be all about don't, don't. I also wanted it to be about do. So let's use words that are purposeful. Because our words are powerful and what we speak really can be problematic, we have got to lean hard on the Lord in order to have purposeful words. Now, when my children were little, there was a day that I was frustrated over something, and I spoke to them in a harsh tone. And funny enough, at the time, I didn't think I was all that out of line. I didn't think it was all that rough. But I saw them physically recoil from me, and it broke my heart because my words, I had caused that damage. And while it broke my heart, it also motivated me to start submitting my words to the Lord. Dear friends, what is it going to take to motivate you to submit your words more fully to the Lord? Ask yourself, how can I be less hurtful with my words? Ask yourself, how can I be more purposeful with my words? And you see, my prayer for me and for all of us as we end our time together this morning is this. It's Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Y'all have a great time in your small groups today. Thank you.